WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Here is one of the main reasons that there is growing regional wealth and income inequality in America. The emergence of new technologies is creating an economy in which superstar employees work for superstar companies that gather them into superstar cities. This has helped produce a stark geographic concentration of wealth unlike any observed in the past century. Much attention was given to Amazon's decision last year to locate its new headquarters operations in the New York and Washington metropolitan areas, already two superstar cities. Since Amazon's announcement, Google has announced a billion-dollar investment in New York, and Apple has announced that it will place its new campus in Austin, Texas, already one of the world's great centers of technology. As indicated by writer Christopher Mims, superstar firms like Apple, Google, and Amazon, but also their increasingly high-tech equivalents in finance, healthcare, and in other industries, appear to account for most of the divergence in productivity and profits between companies in the United States. As firms cluster around talent and additional talent is drawn to those firms, the result is a self-reinforcing pattern toward even wealthier metropolitan areas that are economically dominant. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. As indicated in the Wall Street Journal, population growth in America declined to an 80-year low last year amid declining birth rates. But of course, there were certain communities that still managed to generate significant population growth last year. The eight fastest-growing states last year in terms of percentage population growth were Nevada, Idaho, Utah, Arizona, Florida, Washington State, Colorado, and Texas. Note that each of these states is located in the West or in the South. Not coincidentally, these states have also experienced rapid employment growth as well as substantial expansion in gross state product. These are states deemed to be friendly to business and that generally support low tax rates. In absolute terms, Florida recorded the highest level of net domestic migration last year and has gained 1.2 million people from other states since 2010. Many Florida transplants are tax refugees from the Northeast. Many Florida businesses of all sorts are also busily recruiting younger workers from elsewhere. By contrast, more than 700,000 people have left California than have arrived from other states since 2010. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. We are just a few days into the new year. Undoubtedly, it will be a year of many surprises politically, economically, and otherwise. But some things are reasonably well assured. The year will end up consisting of a bit fewer than 8,800 hours. Most people will spend about a third of that time sleeping. A considerable share of the remainder will be spent at work. But though many of us will eventually complain about all the hours we spent at work in 2019, declines in hours worked per capita are among the greatest benefits of economic development. As indicated by The Economist, during the late 19th century, workers in industrialized economies knew little but work and sleep. In 1870, full-time work generally meant between 60 and 70 hours of labor per week, or more than 3,000 hours per year. During the century that followed, rising incomes were accompanied by steady declines in weekly hours. By 1970, weekly hours had declined to about 40 on average. The decline in hours worked over the course of decades translates into about 1,000 additional hours of free time each and every year. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. Teachers, community college faculty, and school psychologists are quitting their jobs at the fastest rate on record, according to government data. Indeed, as indicated by writers Michelle Hackman and Eric Morath, a tight labor market associated with historically low unemployment has encouraged Americans in a variety of occupations to quit their jobs at elevated rates. But quitting among public educators stands out, since the field is one in which stability is viewed as a key benefit and longevity is often rewarded. Evidence of rapid departure among educators comes alongside protests this past year in six states, where teachers in some instances shut down schools over tight budgets, small raises, and poor working conditions. During 2018's initial 10 months, public educators in America quit at an average rate of 83 per 10,000 workers per month. This according to the U.S. Labor Department. While that remains below the quit rate for American workers overall, it represents the highest rate for public educators since records began to be kept in 2001. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. The financial market volatility that began late last year, a federal government shutdown, and other occurrences have served to convince many that a recession is imminent. As reported in the New York Times, a recent survey of chief executives conducted by Yale University found that nearly half believed that the economy could find itself in a recession within the course of a single month. Since you'll be hearing much about the possibility of a recession this year, it makes sense to define the term. In its simplest form, a recession occurs when the economy stops growing and starts shrinking. Some say that a recession occurs when the value of goods and services, known as gross domestic product or GDP, declines for two consecutive quarters. But in the United States, the definition is a bit more complex. Here, the National Bureau of Economic Research, a century-old nonprofit considered the arbiter of recessions and expansions, embraces a broader view. According to the Bureau, a recession represents a significant decline in economic activity that is widespread and lasts several months. Typically, this means not only shrinking GDP, but falling incomes, employment, industrial production, and retail sales. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.